talk about that which is related to the central figure. But in the end of the speech, in the few minutes, I will stop and focus on what took place on the border yesterday, in the final minutes. It is my honor to be with you today in the opening of the second conference regarding the intellectual jihad of Imam Khamenei, may God preserve him, under the title of the strategies of Islamic culture in the world of today. Actually, Imam Khamenei, may God preserve him, is a personality, a multi-dimensional personality, and currently he occupies very important advanced positions regarding Islam and the Ummah. Allow me, in entering into this issue, allow me to address some of these positions, not all of them. First of all, as a marja, Imam Khamenei, as is well known, is a marja whereby many of the Muslims resort to him and follow him in the world to know the decisions, the issues related to fiqh, and they also follow the fatwas issued by Imam Khamenei. This position as a marja who has followers, it requires from Imam Khamenei to be of the highest levels of fiqh, because he who has followers must be of great knowledge. He must be the most knowledgeable of those who know fiqh, or at the very least to be one of those who might possess the highest level of knowledge, in addition to the condition and the requisite of being just. And because he has this high level regarding fiqh, he also is very knowledgeable in many issues related to fiqh, ijtihad of fiqh, religious jurisprudence, such as the Arabic language as well. This angle, we can get to know this angle by the fatwas issued by him, also by his lessons given regarding fiqh, the lessons which he has given to his students for 20 years and longer. And also we can take a look at this by the discussions which he has held with other religious ulama, especially regarding the state and what we call the modernized issues, the issues which have created a new problem due to the developments of the modern era, and the earlier religious figures have not addressed these matters. So this is one angle. The second position, so this in of itself, taqlid and having followers, this issue is important and is very sensitive, and it requires great efforts regarding fiqh and education. The second position occupied by Imam Khamenei is the position of a leader, the leader of the Islamic Republic in Iran, the Wali al-Faqih, Wali Umr al-Muslimin, leader of Muslims. It's the same meaning, the leader, Wali al-Amr. Now, this position also, in addition to having to have qualifications regarding fiqh, this also requires him to have to be qualified and to be courageous, qualified regarding leadership and in managing the country, a leader of the country, and also being qualified in leading the ummah, because he is the Wali Umar, leader of the ummah. This, in order for this for him to fit this description, it requires great political vigilance, expanded political knowledge. It also requires social, political and life experience of various natures, and it requires a capability to identify the interest and to identify the friend and foe and to uncover the conspiracies, in addition to identifying the opportunities and the threats, to take advantage of the opportunities and to confront the threats. It also requires a great capability of managing, because this position requires him to identify responsibilities, distributing responsibilities, taking advantage in the appropriate way of all of the energies, in addition to bearing the burden and the great pressures. Imam Khamenei assumes this dangerous responsibility. He has been assuming it ever since the passing away of Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon his soul. He has been taking up this responsibility in the best possible way. And large segments of this ummah, under the most difficult circumstances, he has taken the responsibility. We see that over the course of 20 to 25 years, transformations in the region and the world, the threats Islam and the Islamic world is confronting, and the Islamic Republic in Iran especially is confronting these threats, the magnitude of the conspiracies, the hardships, the sanctions, all of this. And Imam Khamenei always confronted these threats and was always capable in transforming most of these threats into opportunities, until Iran became today a major regional power which the whole world recognizes, and friend and foe calculate and take Iran into consideration. Iran, its leadership and its government, its people are walking on the path of development and growth on all levels, politically, also in the educational area, manufacturing, economically, at all levels. The Islamic Republic is marching. This is a side of his personality as a leader. We know this. We know this by his leadership CV and his performance and what he has done. And also we know this by his speeches and the statements he issues, which followed and follow all events in Iran, the region and the world. What we need is to follow. What we need is to listen, to learn. I must point out here to the strong media siege by the Western media and also by the Arab media. From a long time ago, ever since Imam Khamenei assumed leadership, there has been a strange old media siege which is still continuing up until today. For this reason, we find that the speeches and the statements and the stances of Imam Khamenei regarding different issues, although he is the leader in the Islamic Republic, the number one regional power in the region today, despite this, these speeches and statements are ignored. And if some media outlets refer to this, to these statements or speeches, they refer to it partially and in an incomplete way. The third main issue is that of the great Islamic intellectual. The great Islamic intellectual. Now, this requires more. We must look into it more. We must talk about it more. He is one of the most well-known marjas. He has followers. He is also a leader. A leader, his performance and his statements preoccupy the region and the world. This angle, this latter angle, that of the Islamic intellectual, this needs more spotlight, of course, for our sake, not for his sake. Imam Khamenei, may God preserve him, ever since his youth, ever since he made his educational progress. He took a great interest and he made great efforts at the educational level, the cultural level, the intellectual level, by reading and gaining knowledge outside the house, outside the religious teachings. Usually when we go to religious schools, we focus on religious teachings, but from the beginning Imam Khamenei had a very expansive focus and interest regarding history, poetry, story novels from different writers throughout the world, and whether it be regarding Islamic Shia culture or regarding general Islamic culture. So therefore, Imam Khamenei's knowledge regarding the ulama of the Sunnis and their works and their documentations and their publishings, his knowledge in this area is very deep knowledge. We also have other cultural issues. It's not just about Islamic culture. He also is familiar with Western and Eastern culture. Some of our Pakistani and Indian colleagues, some of my Pakistani and Indian colleagues told me that when they sat down with the Sayyid al-Qaid, the supreme leader, and when he speaks with us about our region, we find that he knows more than we do about the Indian subcontinent, about also its literature, its history, its personalities, not the politicians, the kings, the army commanders, the philosophers, the those who worked in the field of literature, the poets. This began very early, and Imam Khamenei never stopped following these issues until today, despite being greatly preoccupied. So this level of cultural focus, this widespread cultural focus, really do we see it in the ulama of today? This special attention by Imam Khamenei, this special attention and focus on being present in the book exhibition in Tehran every year, spending hours. This year, for example, many hours he goes from one room to another, from one publishing outlet to another. He asks about the books, about what new books there are, what subjects are being addressed. Also, the sales, the authors, some of them, are they alive, are they dead? He follows all of these details, which surprise and amaze all those who are present. There is no leader in the world, I don't think so, according to my knowledge, there is no leader in the world who spends hours on such an issue, to go every year to the book exhibition and to look into all of these details. This is not just to display, this is not just making a show. It's the Sayyid al-Qaid, or the supreme leader, is pushing the youth, the ummah, pushing them in this direction to focus on knowledge, books, reading. Imam Khamenei, throughout the year, meets, and for many long hours he meets with different segments who are focused and specialize in the area of knowledge, ulama, those who are experts in fuqh, and even those who are experts or who are in the field of cinema, and university students, university teachers. He listens to them, he listens to what they say. Of course, the Iranian television sometimes broadcasts hours of these discussions which took place. They say what they have to say, they say what their interests are, the problems, the challenges, the concerns, the proposals they have to address the problems. All of this is within the cultural, intellectual framework. Imam Khamenei listens to them, he takes notes, and he then comments on what they have to say, on their views, and says what he has to say. And this includes many cultural issues, many issues of knowledge. And I can also say, according to my knowledge, I don't believe there is anyone in this world, any leader in this world, whatever be the level of this leader, the leader of a large country or the leader of a small group, I don't believe there is someone who is in a position of important leadership. I don't think there is anyone who gives his time and his attention to such efforts and who has this direct contacts and listening directly to the concerns and the problems which these segments and this ummah suffers from. Anyway, there are elements, many elements, which no doubt, in addition to the personal efforts of Sayyid al-Qa'id, there are also other factors which helped him occupy the position of an Islamic intellectual, including, for example, first of all, his leadership status, being a leader. His leadership status allows him to be very much aware of all issues related to fiqh and culture that are related to the country, the ummah, the peoples, and especially the youth via the state's institutions, the research study centers, also by directly communicating with all those who want to contact him and listen to him. This leadership status allows him to do this. Also, the leadership status makes him right in the middle of the situation. For example, we have some intellectuals who live in the mountains, who live isolated. Or we have some who live in a library, in a certain atmosphere, amongst certain surroundings, who meet only with those who are similar to him, far away from reality. We have intellectuals who live reality, who are aware of the concerns and the problems, who feel the pain in the situations of pain, who feel happiness in the situations of happiness. Their connection with these kinds of problems and challenges is direct. It is a connection of responsibility and concern and will and determination and efforts and planning and putting together a certain program. This makes him a different kind of intellectual. So his status as a leader, this is something which makes him a different kind of intellectual. The second is his intellectual capabilities. He has clear, solid, strong answers which are based on evidence, answers to all of these problems and concerns, and he gives them and explains these answers. So his possessing the answers and his intellectual capability, also he knows the language of the era. He speaks the language of the modern era, and this is one of the most important factors, the language which can reflect this fiqh, can reflect it and express it with terms and words, and can make it understood by both the intellectuals and the people. He speaks our language, the language of the youth, the language of this generation, when he speaks, when he writes. Sometimes we might have an intellectual, but he has a problem in expressing himself, or he might have a problem in the terms, words he uses. We might not understand him. People who won't understand him, youth won't understand him, even intellectuals might not understand him. His knowledge remains for him, or maybe for some intellectuals who might understand the terms he uses. Also, another element which makes him a unique intellectual is the fact that he is a faqih, an expert on Islamic jurisprudence. This also makes him unique, because an intellectual, when he has expertise in this field, then he has greater capability in understanding religion, religious teachings. He has all the capabilities, all of the tools which enable him to understand religious teachings correctly. purely and in an objective, complete way. When an intellectual is a faqih, an expert in Islamic jurisprudence, this makes his educational and intellectual capabilities and his conclusions in all areas, it would make them correct, pure, cohesive conclusions. Simply put, he who reads the books of Imam Khamenei and he who follows his speeches, especially during the his cultural meetings, he who follows all this can quickly discover that he is a great Islamic intellectual, an intellectual who raises new ideas and gives unprecedented solutions in all issues related to modern day thinking. One of the most important points which makes him unique as an intellectual and as an expert in Islamic jurisprudence is and him being an independent person. He does not imitate when it comes to religious teachings. Usually the students, even if they become teachers, they still follow their teachers, their old teachers, and sometimes they become too afraid in going against their teachers regarding the fatwas. So his independence and not deterring to the pressures which sometimes happen amongst the intellectuals, sometimes this makes intellectuals put together Islamic understandings in a certain way or a way in which it is subject to pressures, new pressures. For example, in the past decades, during the expansion of Marxism, Marxism was expanding throughout the Islamic world. Some of the Islamic intellectuals and even some of the ulama, religious clerics, because they deterred to these pressures, they searched for how they could coexist and put together Islam in a way which makes it in agreement with the expansion of Marxism. And there was then, we then heard about theories regarding Islamic progressiveness, and they even spoke about socialism in Islam. This is a result of deterring, the result of the cultural attack, the intellectual attack, and backing down, retreating. For example, at one stage, some wanted to present Islam as being of a capitalist nature. This took place. Now, regarding the issues of the state, liberties, general liberties, issues related to the rights of women, the issues related to families, marital relations, international relations, economy, war and peace, Islam has a vision. It has a stance. It has an ideology and it has a clear position. However, sometimes also as a result of the pressures which exist today, especially in light of this very large revolution in communications and the fact that the voice is reaching as far off as possible, people far, far away in the world, we find that yes, some people have reached the stage whereby, how can I say it, they are trying to restructure some ideas of Islam, some principles, in a way which makes them in agreement with the new proposals, new ideals, in a way which even touches the fundamentals of Islam. Some reach a level where whereby they denied the fundamentals of Islam. I don't want to give examples because then the people will be known, but they reach a level whereby they denied the fundamentals of Islam, issues which the all Muslims agreed upon. Why? As a result of this media and cultural pressure. So as a result of our weakness, not the weakness of Islam. Islam is strong. It's a religion of Allah, which cannot be harmed in any way. But we, human beings, we are the ones who defend Islam or present Islam. Sometimes we have our problem. We have a problem in our courage or in our intellectual and cultural capability. The Supreme Leader, may God preserve him, if we go back and look at his writings and his teachings, it's clear that he is clear, he is independent, he is courage, and he does not deter to any hegemony, nor does he believe in anyone being a saint, even the greater religious leaders, not to mention the media, cultural and fuqh campaigns which are being waged. Anyway, I wanted to shed light on these angles to say that we need to get to know Imam Khamenei more for our sake and not for his sake, brothers and sisters, just as the people in this era and in all eras, just as they need someone to follow in order to know what is halal and haram, what is allowed, what is not allowed, in order to know issues related to all matters, marriage, divorce, just as the ummah needs a leader who leads it in confronting all of these threats and all of these conspiracies. Just the same, the people and the ummah also need great Islamic intellectuals who follow the era. So he who has left us can no longer solve our modern day problems. Our great ulama, our great intellectuals, our philosophers, all those who have passed away, even the books which they wrote, which we still have, these books which are very important books, they addressed issues which continue today, until today, or issues related to the past. But just as we need our marja to be alive and our leader to be alive, we need the Islamic intellectual alive in order to confront the current and upcoming challenges, especially in this difficult phase whereby our ummah is confronting historical, fatal, existential challenges. And it is well known that the cultural factors and those related to Islamic jurisprudence are decisive in the confrontation taking place right now, the conflict taking place. It's not enough to address the dangers and the challenges that exist today, including the Takfiri project, the Takfiri wave, and taking and the arrogant powers taking advantage of the Takfiri forces in the Ummah. It's not enough to address this issue politically or from the security angle or militarily or economically, because the main issue is cultural and fuqh. Look at their speech, look at their slogans, look at their performance. They are not talking about the Zionists occupying Palestine, nor are they talking about the arrogant powers seizing control of the sanctities and the riches and resources of the Ummah, nor are they talking about the freedom of the peoples or the will of the peoples, nor are they talking about the popular legitimacy. They have a certain idea which they want to impose on all peoples of the region. They consider this idea to be the priority. Their understanding, their explanation, their ijtihad, they are not mujtahideen anyway, but they want to impose this understanding by force, by arms, by slaughter, by blood and by killing, impose it on Muslims and non-Muslims. This challenge cannot be confronted only politically and by arms or by fighting and economically. It also requires us to confront it intellectually. Unfortunately, today, the prophecies throughout history and the prophecy of our Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, regarding fuqh and intellectual matters, if you want to speak in the offensive and defensive language, we were always on the offensive. The others were on the defensive. They had to defend their statues. They had to defend their ideals. They had to defend their traditions, their silly rituals, rituals. They had to defend their deteriorating culture. The prophets, they always had the upper hand. They had the higher voice because they had God's word with them. So if you want to speak about offense and defense, if you want to speak in this language, God's religion was always on the offensive. Islam was always on the offensive. Unfortunately, today, instead of being in the position whereby we present Islam to the world, the circumstances and the events and the conspiracies of the enemies, the weakness of the Ummah and the divisions of the Ummah, this has placed us in the defensive position, even of Islam as an idea. So we need great efforts to defend Islam, to say Islam is this, not that, to say this is Islam's view, not that, to defend the views, the theories, the judgments, and also what even made Islam, what made Islam be in this position is what is taking place, this behavior, these brutal activities being taking place in the name of Islam. Anyway, we must present Imam Khamenei as a great intellectual to all Muslims and as a human intellectual to all peoples of the world. First of all, to the Muslims and to the Islamic movements, we say to them, read his ideas, irrespective of disagreeing with him, because he is a Shia Imam, or regarding Wilayat al-Faqih. There is a very large area, a common area in Islamic intellectualism between the Islamic sects. We need such a strong mind in this area, a productive mind. For example, to underscore this idea, in the previous decades, when the martyr, the intellectual, Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, may peace be upon his soul, when he discussed the issue of Marxism and capitalism, and he also put together a book about philosophy and also a book about economy, also the banks in Islam, these three books, isn't only the Shia who benefited from them, or were these publications, didn't they serve all Muslims, all Islamic movements, all Islamic sects, all of the universities and Islamic teaching centers? And until today, in Marxism and capitalism, in philosophy and economy, there has been no publication of such a nature. Until now, the Islamic banks in the Muslim world, be it Sunni or Shia, they resort to the Bank al-Rabawi. That's the name of the book published by Sayyid Baqir al-Sadr. So there is something very great accomplished by Shahid Baqir al-Sadr. All Muslims benefited from it, irrespective of disagreeing with him regarding the imamah or other Islamic ideas. What I call for, I call on the Muslims and the Islamic movements today, I call on them to benefit from this great Islamic intellectual, especially in this era, whereby those intellectuals, whether they be Sunnis or Shia, they are very rare. And also, regarding the non-Muslims, I say to them, read what this man has said and what he says about the issues of the modern era and the challenges facing the youth. Let not the religious difference be a reason not to focus and take an interest. So I hope that your conference, your second conference, will be successful in shedding more spotlight on the thinking of this great Imam. What I want to say in a few minutes, the new development, is in Qalamun and the Arsal outskirts. Of course, over the past few days, great achievements were made in Qalamun, and especially the achievements made this morning. I can say that the high mountaintops and the high mountains, they are now all of them are under the control of the Syrian Arab army and the fighters of the resistance. And they now have the appropriate, they have the sufficient firepower control on all other areas. In the Arsal outskirts, over the past few days, this large advance took place, and this defeat was inflicted on al-Nusra front. Now, some in Lebanon are trying to help al-Nusra psychologically and in the media, trying to awaken it. However, that's it. This is continuing. The important development is that related to the beginning of the battle or the confrontation with ISIL. They began to fight us. Now, from our perspective, some might consider this militarily. They might look at it in a different way, but us, at the religious level, for another group to begin fighting with us is better than that we begin fighting them. It's better that they initiate. The sheikhs, religious clerics, know this issue very well. Anyway, yesterday they attacked with hundreds of fighters and a high number of military vehicles. They attacked a number of positions for our brothers in the outskirts of Ras Ab Albak on the Lebanese-Syrian border, meaning they did not attack from Arsal or from Qalamun in the open area. They might have assumed that this front is calm. They might take advantage of the element of surprise and therefore make a moral achievement, seize control of our positions, and in the same way or in the process seize control of very sensitive positions on the Lebanese-Syrian border, especially regarding the villages of Al-Qa' and Ras Ab Albak, and also further expanding into the region and connecting the areas with one another. So the attack yesterday had different goals, be it at the psychological level, at the media level, or at the military level, the level on the battlefield, the presence on the battlefield. The resistance fighters, with all courage and heroism, confronted this attack. I don't want to say exactly, but they killed and wounded a number of fighters from ISIL and destroyed a number of their military vehicles, and they returned disappointed, defeated, leaving behind a number of their fighters on the battlefield, bodies of their fighters. Their resistance, which is fighting one of the most brutal fights, it also sacrificed some of its mujahideen as martyrs. We pray to God that He accepts their martyrdom and that He gives inspiration and gives patience to their families, and we pray to God that they give honor to us and to their families in this world and in the aftermath. What I want to say is this sentence: the fight with ISIL in Qalamun has begun, and in the eastern mountain range and the Lebanese-Syrian border areas, they attacked us. There's no problem, but we shall continue this battle. We are determined to put an end to this terrorist takfiri presence in our border, on our border area, whatever be the sacrifices. This is something decided from our perspective. The scale of sacrifices, what is said on the media, whatever be the media collaboration, whatever be the pressure, the pressures exerted from here or there, what we're hearing from here or there, it's not new what I'm saying, but just to underscore, every day and with every martyr who rises to the sky, who rises to meet his God, we renew our determination, our clear-cut, decisive determination and commitment that we will no longer accept the continued presence of any terrorist or takfiri in our territories and near our villages. And I assure you that those people, they will be defeated. It's a matter of time. And as I said on more than one occasion, we are in no hurry. We are working calmly in order to achieve this goal. When one of us or some of us have the will and determination and also the ability and the confidence, and when we have such heroic mujahideen, of course our eyes must only look forward to the upcoming victory. And now, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We're listening to the Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. Lots of praise for Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei. In so many words, he said he has a multidimensional character, broad knowledge about Islamic jurisprudence. His fatwas have always been abided by the masses, and also profound influence that it has had. We're going to give more to you on that. We have news and brief coming up in just a few seconds. And join us for half past the hour, where we're going to give you international news.